Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
Happy New Year's, everybody. This is 2013 now. And we're going to try not to raise the volume too much because we know some of you may have some sort of addled skull regions going on right now since last night was the, and early this morning was the traditional time to celebrate the coming of a new year. But now the celebration is behind you. Now you've got a whole year ahead of you. This is like the early morning period when everything seems possible. You got a whole year. You could just accomplish just about anything if you put your mind to it in the next 12 months.
Or it could be the early morning and the cold dawn light, yeah, and you see the errors of your way, and your poor alcohol-shrunken brain is screaming for change.
Either way, there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to rebuild, to accomplish great things. And we're not going to get into a whole bunch of just pie-in-the-sky New Year's resolutions, because that's always a trap. You say, this is the year I lose 200 pounds and learn, I don't know, Spanish and Hindi.
And write the great American novel.
And write the great American novel. You know, you just set yourself up for failure with those. And by the time this particular episode publishes, we should have a really cool article on HowStuffWorks.com about ways to make New Year's resolutions that you can actually keep, some of the strategies. So along those lines, what we're going to talk about today are some simple life hacks, little things, ultimately little things you can do with I won't say minimal effort, but it's not going to take an enormous amount of effort to apply yourself to one or some of these. But the payoffs can be huge. You can ultimately change who you are, how you're perceived, how your body functions even, just by making some minor changes in your day-to-day.
Yeah, and normally we do like to go esoteric with topics, but we did try to glean from our research this year some, as you say, are these easy life hacks that are practical, but they have a lot of impact. So we'll start with the first example, and I'm trying to sit very straight as I say this, and with arms akimbo, and because this, the first one has to do with posture.
Yes, and it's, I should add, when I podcast, I actually sit on a stool in this podcasting chamber because I want to have proper posture while I'm podcasting.
You do. You're like totally engaging your core over there.
Because the go-to chairs in this podcast chamber are awful. I don't know where they came from. I think they were like salvaged from like a shipwreck. And if you actually lean back into them, it curves your spine into a question mark. I don't know. Maybe some people can roll with that a little better, but I find it torturous because then I'm all hunched back in the chair and I don't feel like I'm healthy. I don't feel confident. So if I sit on the stool, I feel a lot better. I feel like, all right, I can actually do this.
You feel large and in charge.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is really what is at the heart of these postural changes, because what we're talking about is body language. And there's been a lot of discussion about body language, how you can ascertain certain things from people by the way that they are giving you nonverbal cues. But someone who's given us a fresh take on this is Harvard psychologist Amy Cuddy. And she actually has a great TED.com talk, which is called Your Body Language Shapes Who You Are. And she says it's not just about communicating what you're feeling, your emotional states. It's really about changing your biochemistry through this physical movement.
Yeah, because the idea of don't slump, sit up straight, that's old. Everyone's heard that their entire life. They're old, old educational films. There was one called Posture Pals that they famously riffed on Mystery Science Theater 3000, where all the children are being told how to gain their posture so that they'll be better little children. I think we all know on one level that there are certain postures that just look better and you're just going to look more like you know what you're doing and you're a little more confident. But Cuddy has actually applied the science. And one of the sort of really interesting things that she mentioned is that she refers to it as nonverbal expression of power and dominance. So this is taking it out of the whole, you know, your mom saying, don't slump, sit up straight, and putting it in the context of the animal kingdom at large. It's kind of an overstatement of the obvious, but the power dynamics of this, the nonverbal communication of power, I mean, you see that in dogs, you see that in cats, in snakes, in insects. I mean, you name it. The animals use their body language to show, hey, I'm the top dog right now. I'm the one in charge. You need to back down.
Well, there was someone I used to work with at the zoo, and he was a keeper there, and he actually worked with the gorillas. And he would tell me stories about how when he would go in to clean their cages, that the male silverback gorillas would bow up at him as if to say, hey, man, I see you. You know, what are you doing in my space? Which I think is really interesting because, as you say, you can see that in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that us humans are doing the same thing, just sometimes subconsciously we don't realize it. And Amy Cuddy saw this in the classroom.
Yes.
She went into classrooms full of MBA students, and what she saw is that there is a gender grade gap. Men slightly outperform women, and it's really competitive. And so she started to say, okay, well, I'm going to take a closer look at this. And she noticed that the women tended to make themselves small and hold their wrist and wrap their arms around themselves, while the guys tended to make themselves bigger. They leaned back. They stretched out. They draped their arms around chairs. And she said, you know, we know from studies of facial feedback that if you smile, you fake yourself into feeling happier. So what if you could do the same thing with body language? If you just physically spread out, would you feel more powerful? That was the thesis of these studies that she conducted.
Now, is she talking like actually, because at one point in this description, I'm just imagining like some dude splayed out on a couch. and like, there seems like there comes a point where it's no longer I guess there is a certain communication via the body that says, hey, I'm totally, totally carefree. I'm completely in charge. The dude abides, you know, but it seems like there would be a cutoff point to where it's like, I'm just laying on a couch versus I'm sitting up straight and in charge, you know?
Well, and it's interesting in the talk. She does kind of talk about the best ways to use this posture. She was saying that if you want to feel large and in charge, but you're talking to your boss, it's best not to bow up and try to dominate him or her, because that would send the wrong message. You would then seem sort of as though you had some sort of evil agenda, right?
Right. Now, just to drive home just another fact about just how key this is to who we are and just how it's in our genes and in our design. She points out, Cuddy points out, that athletes who are blind from birth, who say, you know, go through the finish line, finish that race, win the race, they've never seen other people do like a you know, the victory, arms in the air, head back, They have never seen that, but they do it. Like it's just a natural response to victory, to just go, and just hands held high, head held high, chest open. It's just a natural response to victory and dominance.
Because they're assuming the power and the glory of that
yes.
moment. Yeah, which is really, I forgot about that point that she makes. It's really interesting. yeah, there are a lot of different instances that you can bring up that really underscore the importance of it. Nalini Ambadi is a researcher at Tufts University and showed that when people watch 30-second soundless clips of real physician-patient interactions, their judgments of the physician's niceness, i.e., you know, say her body language, or predicts whether or not that physician will be sued.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? So it's more a question of likability in this instance where they're viewing these interactions as opposed to competence. So the people who are viewing that, they're not even really thinking about competence or liability or suing this person. They're just thinking whether or not that person looks approachable, seems approachable, and that predicts whether or not they're going to get sued.
Huh.
So let's get to what she was actually doing, though, Cuddy, when she was trying to do this quick little life hack with people and their postures.
Yeah, of course, she's interested in the science of this, not just, what's the cause and correlation here, but actually what happens in the body when someone is puffing up into this dominant stance. And she found that there are actual hormonal changes, and the hormonal profile changes. You see higher levels of testosterone and lower levels of cortisol.
And she says that this ratio is really important, and that if you look at a lot of quote-unquote effective leaders, mm-hmm. that they all have this kind of cocktail configuration,
cocktail. Yeah.
The leader cocktail. So they wondered, well, if you could have someone assume the alpha role, could you then game their hormones to do the very same thing? And they, in fact, did that. They had people assume postures of powerfulness, and they had people assume postures of what they call low power. And they found that the low power people were having a higher cortisol incidence as opposed to the people who were the powerful posturers.
Oh, so they took the alpha, the alpha dogs, and they said, "All right, now slump over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now just now bring your shoulders up around your ear. Okay, now hold your wrist." And the chemistry in them changed. The
yes.
alpha chemistry faded, and they took on the beta chemistry. Whereas you took the other betas, and you said, "All right, I want you to, you know, roll your shoulders back, open your chest, stand up straight," and then the leader cocktail bubbles up inside them.
Yes, you know, in terms of testosterone and 20% increases in some cases. And, the testosterone, of course, is important because this is what is giving that air of confidence, right?
Yeah.
And the cortisol levels is, you know, correlating to your amount of stress. So if it drops, then that's great. You look confident and you look comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what she was trying to do with these people who were of different ages and genders and different positions in their own lives. She wanted to test this across the board and see if she could come up with something cohesive. And lo and behold, when they then tested them, their hormone levels, they found that it did correspond with the postures that they assumed. Now, they were only assuming these postures for 2 minutes, which is amazing.
Yeah, so it's not like go around like this all the time and your chemistry will change. It's no, you can just go into this dominant posture for a couple of minutes and it'll lift everything up.
Yeah. And, you know, she put them in a couple different scenarios, too, to see how they would perform.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just like, hey, let's look at your hormone profile. Now let's see how you actually perform. And what they did with one group is they had them give a keynote speech. And once they did that in front of the audience and they had assumed, again, the high power poses, they came across as much more confident than their peers who had the low posture. And then they did the same thing again, the same assuming of these postures, and they had these people go in for interviews. Now, what's interesting about this is that the interviewer wasn't giving them any sort of facial feedback, completely neutral. And she said that it didn't matter if you had assumed a low or a high posture. All the people who participated in this hated it because interviews, you know, they're so much fun anyway.
Yeah.
If you couldn't get a clue about how the other person's perceiving you, it's that much more frustrating. But again, when they had someone go through coding this, because they tape these interviews, coding it to see how the people performed. And again, the coder doesn't know what's going on here, doesn't know anything about the testosterone, doesn't know anything about the cortisol or the postures. The coders, time and again, would say, this person is doing great. And invariably, that person was the person who was arms akimbo, mm-hmm. you know, chest outward, looking powerful.
Huh. You know, it's interesting to think about the, I guess I tend to focus more on the chest outward thing. And part of that is comes from yoga, because that's one of the things that's stressed a lot in yoga, mm-hmm. is to you know, to open your chest, open your heart, not only when you're just sitting, but in various other poses as well. And my yoga instructor often brings up examples of this in, say, superheroes. Because what does a superhero have? They have that emblem on their chest. As if, in a way, like a superhero with an emblem on their chest, be it Superman or Batman or whatever, it's kind of a body dominance codpiece of sorts. You know, it's kind of like they're saying, not only is my chest open, it's got this symbol on it. It's got a bat on it.
Mm-hmm.
It brings to mind Hanuman, the monkey god out of Hindu legend, who at one point proves his devotion to Ram by ripping open his chest. And there's like shows his fiery heart, and there's like a miniature Ram and Sita inside there. So that's another example of the open, fiery chest.
That's just kind of adorable, too.
Yeah, yeah. Hanuman's great. You gotta love Hanuman. But I'm also can't help but be reminded of a conversation we had with Holly Frey last mm-hmm. week, who is, of course, the co-host of
Pop Stuff.
Fabulous How Stuff Works podcast about all sorts of cool, geeky and pop culture things. But she was talking about getting her photo taken
mm-hmm.
and how, like, the photographer at first was like, all right, open your chest, you know, don't slump. And then they were telling her, don't open your chest. So I wondered to what extent, because
yes.
we're talking about the gender dynamics here, to what extent does that play into it?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say one of the problems here is just the physicality of mm-hmm. it, I think, for women. Because sometimes if you are to put your shoulders back, well, obviously your breasts are going to be pushed out much more.
Right.
And, you know, it going around like that, it looks a bit odd, because it seems as though you're trying to put that forward as the agenda, as opposed to being like, hey, look how powerful I am. So it may be one of the reasons that women do sort of sometimes crouch in.
Okay, I was wondering about that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's obviously not true for all women, because obviously everybody has different body types. But it was interesting that Holly brought that up, and then I was certainly thinking about this. Now, one of the iconic poses that Amy Cuddy talks about is called the Superwoman pose that they had everyone do. And in particular, she was interested in doing it with the females, because she wanted to see how that would work. But the Superwoman pose is, you've got your hands on your hips
mm-hmm.
and you've got your shoulders back and you've got your feet, you know, about, I don't know, maybe like 2 feet apart from each other.
Okay, so you see Wonder Woman in this pose in
exactly.
various you know, promotional stills from the old TV show.
Yeah, with the cape floating in the wind behind her. And so this is what she's talking about when she's talking about assuming a powerful pose. Now, it's kind of hard to do this in your real life, but mm-hmm. now she says that won't stop you from going into the bathroom before an interview.
Right, doing it for 2 minutes.
Doing it for
and then
2 minutes.
Coming out and at least having that energy and confidence inside you, even
yes.
if you're not completely, you know, storming into your boss's office with the, you know, acting like you're Supergirl.
Right. Which, hey,
or
I don't know where you work, but that might work. But yeah, I mean, she's saying you might return to the waiting room, but now you're going to return to the waiting room and you're going to be assuming a powerful pose as you sit down and wait, as opposed to crouching together.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, very, very easy life hack to do, and a very interesting talk by her on TED.com.
All right, so there's one little thing that you can do to tweak your life in the year ahead. But we have a few more to mention, and one that certainly comes to mind, especially in light of some recent podcasts, is how we deal with what is called the default mode network.
Yeah. Default mode network, just as a refresher, is it's sort of a configuration of the medial prefrontal cortex, the medial parietal cortex, and the medial temporal lobes. And these cortical associations between another are really helping to shape this concept of ourselves.
Yeah, it's basically the neuroscientific understanding of the egoic mind, of that me voice inside our heads about, you know, it's that voice when you're not busy with something, your mind busies itself by thinking about the past and worrying about the future and just gnawing on itself like a dog dealing with an itch on its butt.
Yes, as you have pointed out before, licking it to the point where it's now making a wound out of its own flesh.
And when you stop to think about it, when you actually stop and become conscious of this the cycle in your head. I mean, it's as ridiculous and pathetic as a dog chewing its own butt, because you stop and you think, this is doing no good. This
right.
is absolutely
right.
doing no good.
Well, the point of this whole cortical association is to maintain a balanced sense of consciousness
right.
and your ego. But as you say, sometimes you can chew on those thoughts a bit too much. And it's this sort of hyperactivity in this region that you see in people who are clinically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's where the problems come online. And, you know, we should say this is kind of obvious, but everybody deals with depression at some point in their life, either throughout their life or at different spots. So no doubt you guys listening out there know what that feels like to be overconsumed in that part of your mind. So what is important here about this is that, as we pointed out before, we spend half of our life daydreaming. And when we're daydreaming, no doubt we are thinking about ourselves and all of our problems and what we're going to do about those. So in order to try to quiet this part of the mind, meditation, it turns out, is one of the most effective things that you can do. Dr. Judson Brewer, who is the medical director of the Yale Therapeutic Neuroscience Clinic, and his colleagues asked 10 experienced meditators and 13 people with no meditation experience to practice meditation techniques. And he found out a lot of interesting things about this by using fMRI to look at their brains. And the experienced meditators had decreased activity in that default mode network. And even when the meditators weren't meditating, this region of their brain was much quieter than the inexperienced counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this telling us? It's telling us that a practice of, I mean, something even like, I think that was a 12-minute practice or a 15-minute mm-hmm. practice a day can actually change your brain. It can sort of tamp down all the wildness of the mind to the point where, you know, someone may suffer from that wildness.
Yeah, and you may be thinking, well, how do I start meditating, right? I mean, you may think, oh, I don't even know if there's a place in my area that has meditation and my schedule's so busy. But it's as simple as when you wake up in the morning, before you do anything, or after you've taken a shower, I don't know. I'm not going to plan your day for you.
No, but it is best to do it right then
yeah.
because that you get it done, right?
Right, yeah. Okay, so let's say first thing, you get up, go to a room in your house where there's not a TV on, where there's not another person stirring, where there's not a cat or a dog, you know, playing for your affections.
Mm-hmm.
Take your phone with you, set the timer for 10 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that, and then just sit there and just and think about your breath, you know? Think of, like, put yourself in your breath, breathing in, breathing out, doing alternate nostril breathing is a great way to do this too, where you're closing one nostril and then the other, breathing in through one side and then out through the other. You end up focusing on that, and then instead of worrying about what the rest of your day is going to consist of or what you need to be doing at this moment, you're just in that moment,
mm-hmm.
experiencing that moment for, say, 10 minutes. Without even thinking, like, certainly don't have the clock out where you can watch it tick either. Just because the idea, too, is not to be worried about how much time is passing and am I through with this meditation yet.
Okay, so I'm a lazy meditator, and I've been doing it the last couple of weeks because that's really something I want to do in this coming year mm-hmm. is to have a regular practice. And I will tell you that I don't even get out of bed. I just sit in an upright position, and then I meditate, and then when a thought comes in, I call it a thought,
mm-hmm.
and I let it go. And so for me, the goal is just to get a quiet moment, even if that quiet moment is as short as 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I do it for as long as I can, meaning either the cat comes in and starts to harass me or my daughter comes in the room. And sometimes that's 10 minutes and sometimes that's 30 minutes. But the point is that making it as easy as it can be for you is the way to accomplish it, at least for me.
Yeah.
I roll over and I start meditating.
Yeah, and even if you, as we mentioned on a previous podcast about this, even if you're not actually bringing the fight to the default mode network with meditation or what have you, just being conscious of it can be a huge victory
mm-hmm.
On just a daily basis. If you can actually stop and realize, whoa, this is just my default mode network gnawing a little bit too much on my hinder, I should let this go. Or
yeah.
One method that Eckhart Tolle brings up is if you're having some sort of thought that you don't like in your head,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's saying, oh, you suck, or oh, you really screwed up last night, think to yourself, I wonder what my next thought will be. And it's almost magical in the way that it sort of clears the deck.
Well, and that's interrupting that feedback loop, right? We've talked about this before. And when we've talked about different instances when you're trying to acknowledge anger, which we'll talk about too, it's important to be able to get to that space. And here's the thing about meditation is that the more you do it, the more when you're not meditating, you'll be able to interrupt those thoughts or observe your own thoughts. And doing that makes you sort of like, I don't know how to say this, the programmer of the matrix.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're standing outside of your own brain. And you're deciding what the next move is going to be as opposed to your automated self. Now, if that's not enough of a reason to meditate, we should probably also mention that you can actually increase your telomerase. Now, telomerase is an enzyme, and it's really important for something called telomeres, which are sequences of DNA at the end of chromosomes that tend to get shorter every time a cell divides. So when we talk about telomeres, I think we've talked about probably in the context of the Fountain of Youth before.
Yeah. They're kind of the shoestrings that are unraveling on our life.
Yeah. And so, you know, when they unravel to a certain point, then you begin to see disease introduced and so on and so forth. So it really is important to try to bolster them as much as possible. And the way to do that is with telomerase, this enzyme that can rebuild and lengthen telomeres. Now, Tanya Jacobs, she's a scientist at UC Davis Center for Mind and Brain, reported in the journal Psychoneuroendocrinology that meditators show improved psychological well-being and that these improvements lead to biochemical changes associated to resistance to aging at the cellular level. So what she is talking about here is that these meditators' white blood showed a 30% increase in telomerase, which is 30% is pretty significant here because, again, we're talking about this enzyme that is essential to long-term health of the body's chromosomes and cells.
Yeah.
And not to get too study heavy, but I did want to mention one other aspect of meditation and the genetic level here. And I'm talking about Helen Lavretsky. She's a professor of psychiatry at UCLA Semel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior. And she used dementia caregivers as her subjects in order to test meditation and stress. And the reason why she used them is because they have very high stress jobs and there's a high incidence of clinical depression among those caregivers. And she had 45 caregivers, half of whom were given a daily 12-minute meditation routine that they practiced for 8 weeks. The other half were given a 12-minute place to sit and be quiet and listen to soothing music. And again, they did this for 8 weeks. They took blood samples before and after in each group to examine their gene expression. And the results were that those who had been doing the meditation exercises had modified gene expressions. So what they found is that 68 genes were found to be different after the meditation, and the modified genes involved the body's inflammation response and the ability to fight off bacterial and viral infections. So the story here is that at this genetic level, they're gaming the body to have less inflammation, less illness. And again, in people who are having pretty stressful days, a lot of stress responses, and by simply doing this 12-minute meditation, they're able to vanquish the stress genes here.
Yeah, it's getting down to the epigenetic changes, actually shutting off harmful genes. Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to meditation. Another aspect of meditation that's pretty cool, attention. I feel like most of us feel like we could maybe be a little more attentive in our lives. Indeed, there was another study from University of California at Davis. The Samantha Project enrolled 60 experienced meditators in a 3-month study. Half of these they selected to receive intensive training and practice in meditation over the spring months of 2007. So they carried this out, and at the end of it, they found that those who intensely practiced meditation got better at visual perception, and as a result, experienced also improved attention.
So that's so cool because we always talk about how much we don't see in our daily lives that's around us, that you can't take in all the data. But this seems to suggest that you could take in more data if you just could center yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds us again of the whole idea that adults see the world with flashlight vision and children see it with lantern vision. And to a certain extent, meditation is about taking your flashlight vision and dimming it out and expanding it into more of a lamp vision of at least your immediate surroundings and an immediate experience of the world. So attention increases. Obviously, we're taught that's a little higher up on the tree for picking because this is intense meditation. But again, low pickings, easily obtainable, is the idea that just 10, 12, 20 minutes a day can actually improve your life. So
right, at the genetic level and various other levels. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely a return on investment. Should we take a break here?
We should take a break. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we have a few more little life hacks you can throw at your 2013 and better yourselves without breaking the bank.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back. We've talked about how a little meditation can make a big difference in your life. We've talked a little bit, too, about how just a little more awareness of your posture can make a big difference in how you feel, how confident you feel, and how confident you seem to those around you. And both of these are, again, things where it's just 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, with huge effects. So next on the list, we're going to talk about an old friend of ours here from another topic we've covered before in the past, and I've had a lot of fun with, that being decision fatigue. Now, decision fatigue, just to refresh everyone's mind, is the concept that the more little decisions you make during the day, or even big decisions, but the more decisions your brain has to make, it has a toll. There's a limit. It ultimately ends up in ego depletion. So if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you have to do, you have to decide what you're having for breakfast. Then you have to decide how you're going to get to work. Or am I going to take the train? Am I going to drive? Do I dare take the interstate? Or should I take one of the back ways, the secret routes that I know to get there? And then when I actually get to work, should I have some of the cake that's out there for Anne's birthday, or should I abstain from it? And then you're worrying about, should I work on this project or this one? And what am I going to do for lunch? And then by the time mid-afternoon rolls around, you're done. You have no more decision-making process. So someone comes up and asks you something really important. Your wife calls up and says, hey, should we buy this house? And you just have no clue. You can't.
You just say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
And then later on, you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I didn't even ask how much it was. What it points to is that we have a finite store of mental energy for exercising self-control. And this was found out by a number of social psychologists, but one in particular by the name of Roy Baumeister. And he says this is the reason why otherwise reasonable people do illogical things.
Yeah.
Is because of this constant niggling, all these sorts of little tiny decisions that we have to make. And they found this out through a series of studies, but one of my favorite ones, I believe it was a graduate student under Baumeister who was getting married and had to go and, what do you call it, when you go and you register for gifts?
Register for gifts. They give you the little gun and you shoot.
You shoot, you try to figure out. And she realized that she was completely sacked by the whole process. I mean, she was just, it took all of her mental stores of energy. And so she did something very similar with a group. And I won't go into that study. You can, if you are interested, and you can check out our Decision Fatigue podcast. But the point is that it underscored that there's just only so much attention that we can give to every little thing in our lives. But here's the cool thing about it. It is food, in particular glucose, that can help us with this mental state.
Yeah, as it turns out, even the smartest people, even like just the sharpest tools in the drawer, if they don't have enough glucose in their system, if they're not well rested as well, they will not make those good decisions.
Yeah, Baumeister looked at judges on an Israel parole board, and these judges and all of their decisions were studied to see if there was any pattern of granting parole. Mm-hmm. Now, after looking at something like 1,100 decisions, what the researchers found as the day wore on is that inmates were denied parole more often. So prisoners who appeared early in the morning received parole about 70% of the time, while those who appeared late in the day were paroled less than 10% of the time. And what they see here is that those judges were having a mid-morning snack, usually a little bit before 10:30. And then they would take a break, they'd have their snack, and then they'd come back. And then those prisoners who appeared just before the break had only about a 20% chance of getting parole. But right after their break, they had a 65% chance. So they're looking at this data, again, these 1,100 decisions, and they're correlating it with when the judges are getting these hits of glucose to their brains via food, and figuring out that what the judges are doing when they're hungry or when they've got a glucose depletion in their system is that they're taking shortcuts in decision making. The reason why they're denying parole is because that's just deferring the decision that they have to make.
Right.
So they're saying, okay, fine. I'm not saying yes or no here.
But I'm going to err on the side of not granting parole.
Of not granting parole because, you know, in 6 months, 3 months, 8 months, this is going to come back and we'll review it again then. Because the mind actually knows when it is running out of energy. It will begin to batten down the hatches in these ways in which we'll try to avoid decision making.
Yeah, so basically the people in the study, they were just unfortunate enough to have their parole hearing take place during nap time and during snack time. Like, these judges basically needed a nap and a muffin to actually think about the – and actually actually study the case before them. So,
yeah, and Baumeister had said, your brain does not stop working when glucose is low. It stops doing some things and starts doing others. It responds more strongly to immediate rewards and pays less attention to long-term prospects. And granting parole is a long-term prospect, right? Because you really have to think about how that's a long-term impact on that individual. So what is that? What's the takeaway for us? You need to eat little snacks. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. It sounds like we're all just a bunch of toddlers sitting around. But that is what it boils down to. I mean, think about it. When you're in a state, when you're feeling tired or confused, it's usually correlated with having to eat something and get a little shot of glucose to your brain.
Yeah, I mean, basically have some granola bars around or some snack mix or something or an apple or two. And you might be wondering, well, how do I actually use this to game my life? You know, what little rules could I make for myself in 2013? Like, one concept that comes to mind is, do not go onto Amazon or whatever your shopping site happens to be, or do not go shopping unless you have had a granola bar. You know, make sure that you're going,
right.
Cause otherwise you're going into a decision making or a series of decisions without the mental faculties to really think about it. And you're just going to bomb it eventually. You're like, oh, I've got to get my mom a birthday gift. I'll just get her some perfume. You know, you'll just point at something and shoot just to get it done.
I'm glad that you bring that up, because I think it's important to underscore that the sort of life that we're leading now, wherein by 9 o'clock in the morning, if you get up, say, at 7, you have already made hundreds of choices, particularly if you're working on the computer and you're using the internet, and you're just not thinking of them as choices.
Right.
But in even the pop-up ads that come up, all these sorts of things are choices, you know, something that you have to do and respond to all that stimuli.
Yeah, like a really a persuasive ad, you see it, and you're like, oh, I wonder if I should buy that. No, of course I shouldn't buy that. That's a decision right there. You just use a little juice on that.
Right.
Or you see a sign, you know, at the train station that says, don't get too close to the train when it's moving, or, you know, whatever. Even that, you might think to yourself, oh, I wonder if I get too close to the train when it's moving. And then, bam, I've used some more mental energy.
Yeah.
So this is another case where just mere awareness is good. Just knowing that you only have so many choices and so much choice juice in that brain of yours. So limit where you squander it, and know when to schedule your big decisions. Like, if you're gonna have to go in and meet with contractors for a house or something, you know, some work to your house or what have you, or if you're going in to get legal advice, do it in the morning or do it after you've had a granola bar. Just try and push the advantage back in your favor.
If you're going to buy a car, do it the first thing in the morning, because the sales strategy that all of the sales force has been trained in is to wear you down with choices. That's why they begin to ask you a million different questions about what kind of car you have, and they start giving you so many different choices that by the time that you're actually signing the paperwork, you have been worn down so that you begin to accept whatever thing they put in front of you. Like, oh, it's going to be $800 to have a windshield wiper bedazzling done. Is that good? Yeah? Okay, great.
Yeah. If you got a lot of choices to do, also, know what sandwich you're getting. And don't go to a place where you have to build your own. Know what your coffee drink is. Better yet, go to a place, be a regular, so they know what your coffee drink is. So even if you were thinking about changing your ways and wondering, is this the day that I get a cappuccino instead of an Americana? No, it's not going to be in the realm of possibility, because they've already made it the second you walk in.
All right, so I think that gives you guys a good idea of a couple things you can do in 2013 to life hack a little bit, easy life hacks to try out. And we'll take you out with a couple of other ideas here. One is to bolster your creativity. Thought experiments. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Try to figure out a problem or some sort of scenario, and don't try to solve it. Just try to come up with as many crazy lines of thinking as possible. Mm-hmm. This is actually known as Gedankenexperiment.
Okay.
In German, of course. And it's really important. A lot of really important thinkers have done this and had breakthroughs, creative breakthroughs. Another one is anger.
Yeah, this one was really surprising because you brought this up just yesterday, and it basically boils down to a certain amount of anger, when used properly, is good for creativity and mm-hmm. leads to positive creative output. And initially, I just completely rebelled against this idea because, for the most part, in my own experience, I think of times where I've been angry at someone or something or a situation, and I end up going into that egoic mind area where I'm just brooding over that thing that made me angry and not getting anything done because I'm just sitting there going, oh, boy, that person was a jerk to me, and oh, I really wish this wasn't the case. Why is it raining? And all that. And so it just becomes this inner dialogue.
Why is it raining?
But as you discovered, when you utilize just right, when to take a play from the Emperor Palpatine playbook, when you use your anger, mm-hmm. You can actually achieve great things.
Yeah, I mean, if you know that you're angry and you can try to take that moment, again, this is where meditation comes into play, mm-hmm. or it doesn't have to, but it's helpful because it allows you to observe your thoughts. One of the things you can do in that moment of anger is figure out why you're really angry, because oftentimes it's not really the reason you think it is. The second thing is it's a motivating factor for you to find solutions for that thing not to happen again, right?
Right.
And this has been seen, this anger and this utilizing of anger has been seen in several studies, and it really is a key hallmark of creative brainstorming. This was found by researchers Mathis Boss, Carsten Dedrou, and Bernard Nistad. And the participants were actually made to feel angry and were able to do some novel thinking as a result. So you can actually use this for good, this anger, if you know how to game it.
As long as it doesn't become rage. Because some people out there know what happens if you put up the dishes, if you unload the dishwasher while angry, what happens? You end up breaking a dish, or you chip a dish, or you stab yourself on some forks when you're going after the utensils. And then also you don't want it to turn into sullenness, where you're just so angry and wound up, it just turns into depression. But if you're able to calmly utilize it and say, hey, why am I angry? And where can I focus this anger in a constructive way, then you can achieve really cool stuff. The more I thought about this, I did think of a few cases where I had a certain amount of anger over, I think in both cases it was like a very broad anger. Like I was angry at trends that I saw in culture,
mm-hmm.
or something disturbing in history that was really bothering me.
So it's more like humanity at the large scale.
Yeah, like in one case it had to do with misogyny, and another case it had to do with racism, and it's just kind of stuff where if I just sit there and I just brood over it, I'm like, oh man, people are really awful, and you know, then you end up you're angry and then you're sullen about it. So instead, I'm like, all right, well, what can I do creatively? Well, you know, there's got to be a short story here or something. So in both cases, I was able to write on it and try to create mm-hmm. something in fiction that used that anger in a creative direction. And then after I finished those, the sullenness and the anger inside me had resided. So.
Yeah, because it really can be a catalyst, anger, yeah. for something. Again, as long as you don't, you know, start doing something crazy, like just going out in the streets and...
Yeah.
Being a general marauder.
But again, control yeah, the use of the anger.
Yeah. And then also, sometimes it boils down to food again. We've talked about being hangry.
Yeah.
And I won't go into detail, but there's a study about tryptophan and serotonin and anger and the way that serotonin regulates the parts of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is the seat of reason, with the amygdala, which is where we process emotions like anger. And it turns out that people who had been induced to have low levels of tryptophan mm-hmm. in a study in the brain, they had a harder time with serotonin, since tryptophan is a building block of serotonin, in regulating their anger.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just boils down to diet, right?
Yeah. So I would challenge everyone in 2013, if you find yourself in those moments where you're feeling angry, first of all, try breathing a little bit. Just breathe in and out for, 10, 15 counts. Consider having a granola bar. And then ask yourself, if it's a persistent thing where you just keep feeling angry about something, ask yourself, what can I do with this anger? Is there something in my life, in my hobby, my work, or something that I just haven't even tried my hand at? Is there something I can fuel this anger into that can actually, if not actually make a difference? Because certainly there are cases where if you're angry about an injustice in the world, there are often ways that you can utilize that energy to address those problems.
Well, and this is then the point where you don your superwoman stance,
right,
and put on your cape.
Yeah, get confident, feel confident in mind and body, and go out there and see if you can make a difference. So 2013 is the year it can happen.
The wind in your cape year.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go. There are some excellent suggestions on ways that you can tweak your 2013 and sort of game it a little more in your favor in mind and body. If you would like to reach out to us throughout the new year with your thoughts on these tactics, with your experiences trying to use them, your success stories, your failures even, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on Tumblr. On Facebook and Tumblr, we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and on Twitter, we go by the handle Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.